Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Lucy Hickmott.
Hello, hope you're okay and had a good weekend. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Monday, July 28th, the day after an epic Women's Euros final. More on that in just a bit. And also in today's episode, bosses at a cafe in Dover say they're heartbroken after a fire caused significant damage. And a 20-year-old man from Kent has been telling us how he created a new country and declared himself president. Back to the football first, and the Lionesses have retained their title after beating Spain. They needed penalties to do it after the game finished 1-1 after normal and extra time. Kent's Celestia Russo scored the equaliser for England. She's hoping they'll inspire the next generation.
We set that as our mission after 22 and we want to continue that, and hopefully by us performing and winning these games it shows that the growth of the game, the quality of women's football, the quality of the Lionesses, and we're just playing our part, coming on, trying to win games and tournaments like we'll always do. But hopefully it has a lasting impact.
The striker started her career at Bearsted FC, where a mural has been painted in her honour. Jamie Houston is the club chairman. He's been speaking to Sky.
5 years ago, we never had a girls' football team. We had girls playing with boys, a bit like Lessie did. But now we've got actual five separate teams for girls. These girls now are coming forward. They want to be part of the team. Other boys are accepting girls now a lot more in the football. And I think now with the Lionesses, and again, wow, yesterday they did show some real true grit and determination. So there's no stopping them now, definitely.
Just tell us a bit about the mural, why you're doing it and the plan.
The National Lottery have helped us with this street art, etc. When they asked us if they could do it, again, absolutely got no qualms to say yes straight away. It's something that can stay here at the club when everybody goes today, unless he'll still be on the side of the clubhouse. The National Lottery helped us through COVID. If it wasn't for funding for the grassroots football, we probably wouldn't be here today. You know, it was a struggle, and now we've come out of it shining, and we've got a little star on the side of our clubhouse now to prove to these girls. Hopefully one day one of their pictures can be on there as well.
Fans across Kent have also been celebrating the victory. Finn McDermott from our colleagues at KMTV spoke to people who watched the match on a big screen at Folkestone Harbour Arm.
Yes! Come on, Lionesses! We bring it home again! Woo!
I burst into tears. It was brilliant.
I can't believe it.
Back to back.
Yeah, back to back winners.
And Alessia Russo kept us in it with that goal, and she's here from Kent. How does that make you feel?
Even better.
Amazing.
She's an Arsenal girl as well.
Serena Bigman, 5 major tournaments, a final every time. The women's a legend. The women are just glorious. I never had any doubt. What a time to be alive.
Brilliant, thanks so much.
For this team, such a big moment for the nation.
Obviously, we've won. Was there ever any doubt?
No doubt.
I didn't say 2-1 to England. Yes.
And we did it.
Hannah Hampson, woman of the match.
She's Hannah Hampson saved the day. I mean,
Amazing effort.
The Lionesses will be welcomed to Downing Street today, and there'll be an open-top bus victory parade in London tomorrow. Sarah Batters is the MD of London City Lionesses based in Aylesford, who'll be playing in the Women's Super League for the first time this season after being promoted. She's been telling Nicola how the England team are a real inspiration.
I'm over here in Holland at training camp with our team. So we were watching it all together. And it was really fun watching with the girls, some of the England under 23s, and it's their friends as well, and experiencing kind of the emotions with them, as well as being a typical English football fan, was pretty incredible.
And of course, Kent's very own Alessia Russo getting the equaliser. I mean, she had to score during this tournament at some point, didn't she? And she got a crucial goal.
Yeah, I'm really happy for her that she got the goal. But, you know, the whole tournament, she's done an amazing job just running everyone down. But to finish it with a goal, but then she had to just sit and watch and hope that the rest of the team pulled through. So I'm so glad that they did.
And you mentioned there the under 23s. Obviously, the Lionesses have said they want to be an inspiration. I mean, I should think one who's already a huge inspiration is Michelle Agamone. She was a ball girl 4 years ago. Now she's winning it. She won Young Player of the Tournament as well. I mean, you can't do much better than that, can you?
No. I mean, she must be living in dreamland right now. She's been on loan last season to Brighton and did wonderful for them, and previous to Watford. She's a real up-and-coming talent, Some of the girls on our team, they played with her at Arsenal, and they just say she's such an amazing person as well. They were so proud of her and so pleased for her last night. So excited to see what she does next season.
There seemed to be just so many amazing stories that came out after the result. One, that Lucy Bronze had a fractured tibia and was playing the entire tournament. And then also, I didn't really know too much about the backstory of our goalkeeper either, and her sight issues that she had. She was told she could never be a professional sports person. I mean, I guess it just showed never give up, really.
No, it was the talk of our breakfast room this morning about Lucy Bronze's fractured tibia, and a lot of players just, how does she do that? She's quite the machine, I think, Lucy Bronze. And yeah, Hannah Hampton, I think she's had an amazing tournament, a lot of pressure, first tournament as England's number one, but you know, she's got some character, and she's done fantastically well.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories. A Dover man's admitted killing a woman after knocking her down with his work van as he went home for lunch. Jesse Milton was at the wheel of the vehicle when he pulled out of a junction in Folkestone as she crossed the road in July last year. The 60-year-old from Hoffham Court Lane in Church Hoffham admitted causing death by careless driving. He's due to be sentenced in September. Two people have been taken to hospital following an alleged assault near Whitstable. Armed police were called to the Estuary View off the Thanet Way in the early hours of yesterday. A man in his 30s from the Dartford area has been arrested. A Folkestone man's avoided jail after leaving his partner with concussion and bruising when she tried to break up with him. Tyrone Tanner turned up at her property and pushed the front door into her face when she tried to slam it shut. The 35-year-old from Dover Road was given a suspended sentence. He must do rehab, a relationship course, and pay more than £300. The boss of a cafe in Dover says it'll be closed until further notice following a fire. Crews were called to the Grapevine on Station Road over the weekend. Dan joins me now with more details. So, Dan, when exactly did the blaze break out?
Well, it started in the early hours of yesterday with three fire engines sent to the scene just after 1 a.m. Crews battled the flames for over an hour wearing breathing apparatus and using hose reel jets. It was put out just after 2:30 a.m. and there were no reported injuries. The blaze is thought to have been caused by an electrical fault.
And I understand we've had a statement from the owners of the cafe.
Yes, that's right. A spokesperson says they're heartbroken and the business will be closed until further notice. They're going to contact everyone who's made a booking over the coming days. A planned charity event is hoped to still go ahead. The statement goes on to say, "Our hearts and souls from the whole team have gone into making the Grapevine a huge success. To wake up this morning to see it all being destroyed. As a small business, something like this has a huge impact. So keeping everything crossed, we can recover from this." They've added a huge thank you to all their wonderful customers. Finally, bosses say thankfully no one was hurt. That's the main thing. Stuff can be replaced and hopefully we can bounce back in due course. A GoFundMe page has been set up to support the CAF. At the time of recording, around £500 has been donated.
Thanks, Dan.
Kent Online reports.
A Chatham man who bombarded his ex with calls and messages and turned up at her work after she broke up with him has been given a restraining order. A court heard how George Weller was controlling and manipulative during his relationship, leaving his victim a nervous wreck. The 29-year-old from Sedge Crescent admitted charges, including stalking. He's also been put on a 24-month community order. The mum of an Air India plane crash victim from Kent says her family's heartbroken after learning they were about to bury the wrong remains. The bodies of Fionnuala Greenlaw Meek and his husband Jamie, who ran a wellness retreat in Ramsgate, were incorrectly identified by officials in Ahmedabad. Amanda Donaghy's told the Sunday Times she wants to bring her son home a month after the disaster, which killed a total of 260 people. Now, a Kent food bank has been telling us how the Tons of Tins campaign on our sister radio station KMFM will allow them to help more people. We're collecting as many tinned food items as possible to donate to 16 sites across the county. Roy Warner is from the Celebration Church Maidstone.
It makes a huge difference for us financially. So a big part of the struggle of running this work is trying to find money to fund it. And a lot of that money goes on buying that food, because, of course, if we're trying to get families to not have to front the costs, they spend than we have to. So when we get donations like the tons of tins, it makes an enormous difference. It frees up so much funding that we can then use either to buy other food or to further the project in a lot of other ways. It goes on core costs or it goes on expanding. Like that's something we're really looking at the moment. Like we've been very core and focused on like Parkwood and Shepway. We really want to reach out and potentially franchise. And that because we've been able, or at least potentially going to be able to in the future, free up that funding because of getting so much donated from tons of tins, it will make a really big difference for that. So it seems like just a food donation, and in a way it is. But equally, because of what it allows us to do, because of what it enables us to do, it could be something that lets us reach out to far more families, to far more kids, to far more parents, and really step into to their like their situation, their food poverty, and help that. So I'm really looking forward to it, to what it might enable. Because in the immediate sense, it's great, we've got more food, we can feed more families. And in the sort of long-term sense, hopefully that impact can be a really big knock-on to enable us to snowball, to create something even better than what we've already got.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Just finally, Roy, I mean, it's times are tough, and you know, some listeners can only give a small amount of money or, you know, a few tins to this campaign. But I mean, I guess from your point of view, is it just a message of, well, every little helps?
Yeah, it absolutely is, right? Like if you can give one tin, two tins, that can feed a family for a day. You know, it might not be the whole meal, but it will be the tin that they need to make that meal, or to be the whole thing. And in my mind, although we want to do bigger and better things, I also want to focus on individuals, right? Like each person, each child, each family that you can feed, that's a victory, that's a win. That makes a massive difference in somebody's life. Especially when we're also pairing that with cooking skills, not just immediate food provision. It makes that tin that for you might have been a meal for one person into something that is a lifelong lesson for somebody, which I think is so much bigger, so much more important. So yeah, you think you're absolutely right. If you can give one tin, two tins, whatever it might be, think of the impact that could have on somebody's life. It's so much bigger than the tin looks.
Last year, you helped us donate more than 9 tons worth of food to those in need. This year, we're aiming for 10 tons. We're accepting contributions until Friday.
Kent Online News.
A Maidstone man has appeared in court after police found him in possession of a knife. The weapon exceeded the legal limit of 7.6 centimetres and was stashed in Luke Archer's waistband when he was searched by officers on July 20th. The 33-year-old from Perry Street will be sentenced in September. If you live in East Malling, you're being asked what you think about plans for 60 new homes. The people behind the idea say they would be on land at Belvedere House, which is a site off Wateringby Road, not far from the railway station. Developers say 40% of the properties would be affordable. A Sittingbourne woman fears her home could be at risk if nothing's done to deal with trees she claims are dangerous. Lorraine Lucas lives on Chalky Road in Stockbury, near a nature reserve protected by the Kent Wildlife Trust. She claims some of the trees on the outskirts are dead and could come down in strong winds. The woods are currently closed to the public with a sign warning of hazardous trees. The trust has been contacted for a comment. Now, here's a strange one today. A Dover man has declared himself president of a new country he's created between Serbia and Croatia. Daniel Jackson and a group of friends travelled to the region after discovering the Serbia-Croatia border dispute had left some small patches of land unclaimed. It's called the Free Republic of Verdis, but it's not yet an internationally recognised state. Daniel's back in Dover for now after being deported by Croatian authorities in 2023. He's been chatting to Abigail Hook from KMTV and says their campaign is entirely serious.
I assure it's not a joke or a prank. You know, we have loads of legal experts that support in our favour. We issue documents. We spend loads of, you know, our own money to get to where we are today. We provide humanitarian aid. There's nothing that indicates us towards being a prank. I mean, to prove it, we even started a settlement. And, you know, we brought a load of vessels down there, all sorts, you know. There's nothing that indicates us towards being a prank or a hoax or anything like that, because it's a costly thing to do, to start up.
And can I ask why?
Loads of reasons. Verdis is quite a big tent. So, you know, a lot of us come from a humanitarian background. We want Verdis to be a bit of a neutral zone, a middleman for countries to talk in. We want it to be positive towards NGOs. And also, we border Croatian Slavonia, which is the poorest part of Croatia. we believe that Virtus would also help boost tourism in neighbouring areas in Croatia and Serbia. It would boost the economy because of the use of services and once again tourism as well. And there's all sorts of benefits towards Virtus's existence.
And do you think there will come a point where you are recognised internationally? How long will you fight this battle?
I believe that we will be I do believe we will be recognised internationally very soon. That being said, it is a bit unpredictable when, but I do hope it will be within the next few years. It all depends on when Croatia allows us back onto the land. That could be when they have a new government in place. That could be, you know, if there was enough public pressure that they begin to acknowledge international law. Because again, even though they don't recognize us, this is our territory and legal experts have ruled in our favor. Because again, you know, we are the oldest active claimants.
Abigail was also able to sit down with Philip Cunliffe, who's an international relations expert from Ramsgate.
There's a whole backstory about these border disputes or grey zones within countries or at the borders of countries, where at the interstices of these places that certain people kind of see an opportunity to fulfill their, I guess, their grand delinquent images of themselves, or fulfill the idea or the fantasy of establishing a whole new country where they would set the laws and compensate for the laws that they feel oppressive or backward or in some ways deficient in the countries of which they're part. I mean, you know, so off the coast of Kent, there's the Mansell forts, the old wartime naval fortresses dotted around the coastline. And those were the basis for kind of illegal pirate radio stations, which took advantage of the fact that they were taking, you know, outside of the broadcast zone and the regulations that covered it. So there's a whole history, you know, and it, you know, even in Kent itself, of relating to stories of how people exploit these legal grey areas to claim all sorts of, you know, to take advantage of them either for commercial or political purposes. But at the end of the day, it needs a lot more than just kind of setting up house and setting up shop and declaring yourself king or emperor or president or whatever for a real state to exist.
Is there a world in which Virtus could become a country? How likely or unlikely is that?
I would say the probability is almost zero, but, you know, stranger things have happened. So if we think about all the different things that have happened over the ways in which all sorts of states have started in unlikely circumstances, you can never say never. But realistically, you know, it's not going to happen.
Kent Online reports.
A former pub in Gravesend looks set to be turned into a mosque. Plans to convert the Peacock on the junction of St Andrew's Road and Peacock Street have been recommended for approval. A charity wants to run religious services as well as a food bank and youth club. It's been confirmed a bus station in Folkestone will be moved as council bosses push ahead with £20 million plans to regenerate the town. The stop in Bouverie Square will close on September 20th and services will move temporarily to Middleburg Square. The old bus station will be replaced with a green public park with seating, walkways and cycle stands. The Kent Online podcast has been told work on a large motel in Dover should start early next year. Plans for the 90-bed facility on the seafront were approved in 2021 as part of a £250 million project to revive the Western Docks. It's thought it will take around a year to build. A site in Dover that was used by workers building the Channel Tunnel could be turned into a live music event. Bosses at the Great Farthinglow Farm also want to serve alcohol and show films there. The camp first opened in 1988. It's hoped the plans will bring it back into community use. Hundreds of people have signed a petition calling for a memorial to a group of women who were executed in Kent for witchcraft. The six from Maidstone were accused of causing deaths, conjuring spirits and making pacts with the devil. Green Party councillor Claire Keely is calling on the local authority to recognise what happened.
Kent Online Sport.
football, and the Gillingham boss says he's not surprised some of his younger players are being linked with other clubs. There's been speculation on socials over the past week that Luton Town are interested in Jogue Bodie. The 20-year-old scored both goals in the Gills pre-season friendly at Dartford on Saturday. Boss Gareth Ainsworth spoke to reporter Luke Cordell following that game.
Two goals from Jogue Bodie today as well. He scored in the week. We're seeing some great stuff from him at the minute.
Yeah, he's definitely maturing as a player. I love working with Joel. I think we've got some cracking work to do with him, and positioning wise, you know, I say to him, I'll coach the areas to receive the ball in, to get you high up the pitch on the ball. The rest is up to you. And he's proved today just exactly what a handful he can be. He can go both ways. He's got a great left, he's got a good right. And he scored two goals today. You know, I think the second one was trying to be claimed by somebody else, stabbing it in, but I think it went to Joel. The first one was a very assured finish, just like it was at absolutely the other night, you know. So yeah, he's a young talent, but you know, again, he'll be the first to say people like Sam Gale and Connor and Bradley, who's in the best shape he's been in for years, you know, they're all going to contribute to a platform that he can work off. And you know, we're lucky that we've got Elliot Nevitt back fit now, Aaron Rowe, Sam Volk's really close. We've got some firepower, you know, and so hopefully Seb's injury is not too bad and we can get him involved as well. But really pleased. Josh Andrews again, wow, what a monster he can be at times. So yeah, really looking forward to getting stuck into the season. Thanks for the support through pre-season, everyone. It's not easy. Some people go away, it's been raining, it's been sunny, we've been non-league grounds, league grounds, AstroTurf grounds, everything, but the same faces come and get behind the boys, and that's football. I understand that, and I want to give my all for those people.
There was some speculation about Joe in the week, about potential interest in him. Do you know much about that? Can you say anything about that? Does it surprise you?
I'm not surprised at all, no. Obviously, you know, we keep our business in-house and we won't let anything go out. I'm very, like I say, experienced with the game, and I think gone are the days where we'll talk about any business coming in, going out, whatever it is. That's the way I believe football clubs should work. And yeah, the world of social media, things get rife out of hand and put everywhere. But no, we're really proud and happy that people are linked with our players. I think there was rumours about Sam Gale, and it's always going on, you know. When I didn't play him for a week, I think he'd gone somewhere in the Championship. But he certainly played today and got a good half under his belt. So no, these rumours will come and go, but we'll keep everything in-house, and I'm sure he'll be the first to know if anything does happen.
Gillingham kick off their season at Accrington Stanley on Saturday. Tennis, and Kent's Emma Raducanu is back in action later. She's in the first round of the Canadian Open after missing out on reaching the final of the Washington Open over the weekend. The Orpington player will start her campaign in Montreal against Elena Gabriela Rousset. And in cricket, the England captain has praised both teams after the fourth test with India ended in a draw at Old Trafford. Kent Crawley had hit 84 as England posted a huge first inning score of 669. But the tourists ended on 425 for four in their second go with the bat. England still lead the five-match series 2-1. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on socials. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. While you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code LucyHickmott, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.